All right. God is good. And all the time? Amen. Well, I think we can all go home. Pastor Calvin pretty much took everything I wanted to say today. That happens a lot. I guess we're in the same chapter. Amen. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now and thank you for your word and thank you for all that you do for us right now. And Lord, let it be your words and not my words that come forward. And Lord, let's be a word of encouragement and a word of clarity this morning. And we just give you glory and honor this day. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I have a little bit of an encouraging word for you. A little bit of a, I don't know what the word that God gave me the other day. A little bit of clarity in who you are. And an encouragement to follow and to walk out who you are. Holy Spirit has me on a journey, I think, of, I don't know, finding myself. And I think we're all on that same journey, finding who we are and what we need to be doing and where we're at and what am I doing in life, right? And so anyway, the Lord had me do some research about veterans and military, and some of you out here I had a conversation with. I had some conversations with other people I know from my hometown and some other people that are in the military, and I wanted to do the Lord wants me to give a little bit of a Veterans Day sermon. I know sometimes it's kind of cliche to do a holiday sermon, but here we go. Amen? And so let's just read the first scripture. 2 Timothy, if you have your Bibles. If not, it'll be on the screen. If you don't want to look at the screen, then you can also look at your phones or your tablets, or you can just listen. It's okay either way. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says this. It says, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Verse 4, soldiers don't get tied up in affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. In another scripture, it says, in another version, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and no man who warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him. Amen. God has chosen you for a reason. God has chosen you for a purpose. And it's to do his business. And it's to do his business here on earth. Amen. And today is Veterans Day, and we want to honor all the veterans here, and as we did, thank you again for your service and for your time. And some of you might be going into the service, and thank you for your volunteering. And if you volunteered, thank you for volunteering to serve me. Thank you for volunteering to serve us as a nation. Your dedication and your sacrifice to this country is great. Jesus said in John 15:13, says, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And I think to that, to all who have served in the United States Army, thank you. Thank you. There's no other greater love than to lay down your life. And I think that if you're enlisted in the military, it's possible that you're going to lay down your life. So thank you for that. And I want to take a look at what is required to become a, and I ask this question to people, what does it take to be in the military? What does it take to be, to enlist yourself and then to be enlisted and then to live life afterwards? And I think everybody I talk to says it takes a little bit of mental toughness, that it takes a little bit of humility and an understanding to say, maybe I don't know what I'm doing with my life, so I'm going to join the military. And then it humbles you a little bit to go from nothing to knowing a lot of things and doing a lot of things, but then having your world basically be broken down, but then to be built back up. And in what I've talked to some people is that the time that you are enlisting and the time that you go through boot camp is a time where basically they take who you thought you were and break you down. And then they build you back up into what you want. They want you to become. And I find that so, awesome. Because I can compare that with the army of God. I can compare that with Christianity. I can compare that with being a follower of Christ. In that we go from maybe not knowing what's going on in our life or going from having done some really bad things in life to then enlisting to and then finding out that there is another way, but only to be broken down, but then to be lifted back up. But to be lifted back up in such a way that you leave who you were behind to become the new person that's in front of you. And then doing new things and not doing what is old, but doing what's new because you have become a new person in Christ Jesus. Amen. I find so many comparisons with being a military veteran as to being a Christian. And then what some people has called a Christian veteran. So when I thought about veterans, I thought, how is this comparable? Because I see a lot of military references in the scripture. There's a scripture of a centurion, and I didn't know really what a centurion was. I thought it was a soldier, but a centurion is a person who's in charge of 100 people. That's why it's called a centurion. And so when Jesus is speaking to the centurion, and the centurion says, there's some sick people here, can you just pray? And Jesus says, we can go. And he said, no, I don't need you to go. Just say it. Just give the order, because I know what happens when you give the order. When my supervisor, when my person gives the order, I know what happens. It's done. So the centurion is like, just say the word, and I know what's going to be done. And then Jesus looked around and said, You hear this? This is the greatest faith in the land. He has never seen so much faith in the land. And he's saying this to his disciples and to the people around. This centurion who understands from being a military background, who understands that you say the word and it's done. We can learn some things from that. In the realm of Christianity, the realm of where Jesus comes from, in the realm of where we come from our relationship with Christ, when he says it, we don't have to worry about it. It's done. Amen? It's done. And I find that so awesome. I just find the comparison between military and Christianity so alike that we can learn some things. I learned so much in conversation with some of you that about honor, about truth, about accountability that I think we need to take in a non-army or non-military way, but in God's army way, in a relationship of Christ, that there's truth and there's honor and there's accountability in what I do in my life. Because I'm responsible for my life, but not only just mine, but other people, because we're a witness. We're a witness to the goodness of God out there. And so I'm just not accountable for me. I am for me and my life, but I'm accountable for my kids and their life. I'm accountable for the kids I see at school. And I'll just give a little personal. It saddens me now that a lot of times when people talk about Mr. Nelson and in school, they're like, oh, you're so mean. It saddens me because I don't see myself as being mean, but I see myself as trying to make people accountable and make people responsible. You know? And if that means that I'm mean, but if it helps them change their life, then I'm doing something right, I think. You know? And But it does sadden me a little bit that people think I'm mean. I don't know, maybe y'all think I'm mean. I don't know. But I'm not. Hopefully I'm not. I don't know. Shoot. They even have a name for a face that I give. It's called the Mitch face.
Shoot.
But I'm sure that in talking, you know, in talking to some of you about that, and talking to some of my friends, that the military guys in boot camp, they were kind of mean. But what did it do for you? It built them up. And it brought them to a place where they could rely on the military, where you had to rely on what they had for you. And I think we're in the same boat. We don't have to get so broken, but we have to stop relying on ourselves and other things and begin relying on what God has already promised you. Right? When you enlist into the army, they promise you this and this and this and this and this and this and this, and they give it to you. So when we say that we're believers in Christ, we have to let go of all those other things and really rely on what God told you is going to happen. On the truth of what God told you, you have already. On the truth of what God told you, you are in Him. And I don't know, to switch gears a little bit, if you've been here long enough, you've seen that we have three flags here, right? One is the United States flag, we have the Christian flag, and we have this other flag over here that probably many of you maybe not know about. We all know the United States of America flag, and we all know the Christian flag, representative of all of the followers of Christ and Christianity itself. But this one over here is a little bit different. I mean, how many of you know that flag before? It was a flag flown in the Revolutionary War. And well, General George Washington, if you didn't know, he was a general in the army during the Revolutionary War. And he supplied all of his own ships to begin the first Navy. And some of those ships had that flag flying because there was no flag. And so that flag was flying because, well, from the stories that I've heard and some people talking about it, they really had to appeal to heaven to get done what needed to get done to start the United States of America. And so he financed a lot of that and with his own money and with his own stuff. And those military people and the people who had the Revolutionary War, they had to appeal to heaven. And God blessed them because God works. Amen. Anyway, I want to talk a little bit about this and in understanding what a veteran means. I mean, I know how I use veteran in terms and terminology and communication, but the Webster's Dictionary says this: a veteran is a person who has had long service or experience in an occupation, office, or of the like. Example is a person who is a police officer for many years, or a medical doctor for many years, or a nurse for many years. They're a veteran nurse, or veteran this, or veteran this, or veteran that, right? The other one is a person who has served in the military force as a veteran. And then those are the only two, right? And so somebody who has served in their line of work for many years and many things are called a veteran. And then military people are called veterans because they served. In the Bible, in the Word of God, it talks about Christians and believers in Christ and what it takes to be a Christian and from the beginning to the end. And I found that it's very similar in the military as being a Christian. And first you have to volunteer. First it's a volunteer thing. No, the United States doesn't do the draft anymore. And if you were drafted, that means you didn't volunteer. You were pretty much made to do it. And so first of all, to serve either flag, you have to volunteer. Recruitment officers are sent all around. We see them at school all the time. Almost one every day there's someone there. Sending out to encourage people to volunteer to serve their military. I guess what? Guess what all of you are? Recruitment officers. Evangelists, preachers, teachers, for the kingdom of God, for the army of God that's talked about in the Word. We're all called to be recruitment officers. First and foremost, you volunteered to be here. You volunteered to trust in the Lord. You volunteered to get what's coming to you from the Lord. Amen? God doesn't force anybody to serve in his kingdom. He does plead with you to volunteer to come to salvation through Christ. He sends out recruitment officers to urge people to serve in his army. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Amen? So you can consider yourselves all recruitment officers in the Lord's army. Makes me think about the song. What's that song? I don't know. It's a song. Somebody who's on my same brain wavelength can tell me. Yes, that one. I don't know how to sing, so I'm not going to sing. Well, I do know how to sing, but I don't like how I sound, so. And neither does my wife. So. It says here in chapter 5, verse 20 in 2 Corinthians, it says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God." That's what recruitment officers do. They make their case for their branch of military. They make their case, "Hey, come here, hey, come here, hey, come here. This is what we have for you. This is what's going on for you. This is how you can have this and have that and blah, 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 blah." Well, you're a recruitment officer for the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God has this and 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 everlasting life. In the kingdom of God. Come back to God. We plead. In the same fashion, 2 Peter. Say amen when you get to 2 Peter. And don't put it up yet because that's cheating. Second Peter chapter 3. Verse 9 says that the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. I think that's part of why we are our recruitment officers. He doesn't want anybody to perish or to be destroyed. He wants everybody to repent, to be in his kingdom, to be in his army, to know his love and to feel his touch and to be able to say to another person, "Hey, you need Jesus because of this," or to lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed and the miracles can happen, or to lay hands on the dead and the dead rise, or to speak to demons and they have to flee. Amen. See, these are the things that have already been promised to you. These are the things that you have in Christ's army. Amen? God is pleading with you today for you, the sinner, to come and serve him willingly. And the benefits are, I'm going to be real, they're out of this world. I thought that was funny. But. So the first thing that God asks of you is, number one, be a volunteer. Why volunteer? And for you believers, be recruiters. The second thing that I think is similar is you have to have complete faith. You have to have complete faith is that when you serve the American flag, what I find out, you got to have faith in the American government that it will supply every need. That it's going to supply your clothing. That's going to supply your food, your shelter, your medical needs, and even your companions are supplied by the government to other officers or other soldiers. When you serve the Christian flag, you must also have faith in the one who has called you into his service, that he will supply your every need. You will not have to worry about your physical needs when you serve Christ. Let's turn to Matthew. There's a lot of similarities here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33, it says, "So don't worry about anything. Don't worry about these things, saying what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. These things dominate your thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all you need. Seek Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Christ will even provide godly company for you in other believers. It's very similar here how our physical military world is very similar to our spiritual world. Complete faith. Let's turn to 1 John. If I can find it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 says, "We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with our Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." 1 John 1, go down to 6 and 7, it says then, So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. And verse 7 says, "But if we are living with the light, as God is the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." When it comes to faith, the Lord wants us to be true veterans. Meaning that experience through long service and practice. From what I understand, you can't just be in the military and not do nothing. I mean, from you veterans, that's the case, yes? You can't just be in the military and just sit there. I don't think that's possible. So when it comes to faith, the Lord wants you to be true veterans. Experience from actually serving and putting those things into practice that we learn. Amen? From what I understand, you enlist and then you go to boot camp, and a boot camp is just a big physical test and a rough test to break you down, but then they teach you something. They teach you some skill. They teach you something that you can actually use. So, when you come to Christ, you're broken down, come to Christ, or maybe you finally realized in your life that you need something more than yourself and that God is there for you. Well, you enlist then, and you find out that God has something for you. He has a skill. He has a gift for you. He has gifts and powers and things that are for you to use and to actually practice in life. To be what? To be that good witness. To be that that person that doesn't just claim to be, but claims to be and practices what they claim to be. Amen? God wants you to be experienced and experienced through practice. Practicing his word for your life. Amen. The third thing that I find similar in the military is commitment. Everybody that I talked to, everybody that I had a conversation with said that commitment is big. Well, I don't find any dissimilarities with the Word of God either. Commitment. Commitment to God, commitment to Christ, commitment to serve Him. When you serve the American flag, you are expected to be completely committed to your country and to allow nothing to prevent you from performing your duties and serving faithfully. Well, when you serve the Christian flag, when you serve Christ, you are also expected to be completely committed to Christ and to His kingdom. You are expected to serve him faithfully, not allowing anything to keep you from doing his will. Amen? Let's look at this. Turn to the book of Luke. When you get to Luke chapter 5, say amen. Amen. You are expected to serve him faithfully, not allowing anything to keep you from doing his will. What is his will? Well, let's look at this. Luke 5, chapter 5, verse 11 says, "But he replied, 'This man who healed me told me.'" Oh, what am I on? Oh, I'm on John. Well, let's look at this. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Commitment. They left everything and followed Jesus. Well, from my understanding, in military, you leave everything and you follow the United States government. Well, in God's army, it's very similar. Leave everything to follow Jesus. Luke chapter 5. You're all in 5 right now, right? Hopefully you kept your book there or your finger there. Verse 27 says, later on, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting on his tax collector's booth. He said, follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything and followed him. If we turn to Luke chapter 14. Amen. Luke chapter 14, verse 33 says, so you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Commitment requires giving of yourself. Giving of things that you have. Giving of what you thought was all yours. Commitment means that you leave that behind to follow Christ. Not that you're not going to leave your house. I mean, you might. God might call you to leave your house. If that's the case, then God called you to leave your house. I believe that I had a dream when I was living in Ohio that I was going to die if I did not leave my hometown. And I didn't know where that came from at the time. But man, it was so strong. I need to go. I needed to do something, right? And in my pursuits of leaving, there was only one job opening that I could actually work at, and that was in Douglas High School. I'm not kidding you. I probably applied at least 70, 80, 90 places, right? And they all have the same kind of stuff. It was all for athletic training, all for teaching or whatever it is, because that was my degree and that's what I needed to do, right? And only one called me back saying, hey, you don't really need to do an interview, but we have to do that as a formality, but you want the job? And I told him, his name is Mr. Walker, I don't know if you know, Randy Walker. Hey, are you sure? You don't need it? No, we're good. We need you here August 7th. Can you be here? And this was like July 30th or something like that. I was like, well, it takes about 3 days to drive there. And he's like, you know what, that's all right. You get here when you get here. It's like, well, I got a wedding to go to. I was in a wedding on the 7th because the 7th was a Sunday. He's like, that's all right. You just get here when you get here. We'll take care of it. I was like, well, I don't have anywhere to live. He's like, all right, I'll put a down payment on your property, and you just pay me back. And I don't have any, I'll give you a couch and some end tables and stuff, and it'll be all right. And I don't know about you, but after I understood what salvation was and after I became a Christian, I realized that God had placed me here. Amen. I say all that because it takes commitment just to pack your car up and just drive 2,000 miles with your mom. If my mom is listening, I love you, Mom. Commitment requires you to be disciplined, right? And to make a commitment to something and stick to it. And stick to it. Christ calls you that. He calls you to that. To be committed and to stick to it. And to be disciplined enough to stick to it, not to hop around and jump around and do this kind of this or that and blah, 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 blah. Talks about being hot or cold. You know, either hot. God doesn't want nothing lukewarm. He wants you to be hot, on fire. Burn at that fire. Fire from the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a story about a preacher. I forget where I read this several years ago. It came to my mind. In England, there was a conductor conducting a great symphony, right? And the room became standing only. It was packed, packed house. And the hall was usually for cultural events and things like that. And the story goes like this. On a Saturday evening, patrons filled the place, and one of the patrons noticed that his preacher was sitting there. And he says to the preacher, looks over and sarcastically says, "Hey, preacher, when are you going to fill this hall on Sundays full like this?" And the preacher goes, "I will fill this on Sunday morning when you give me 85 people who give everything they have and are disciplined men and women." I just want to put that there. What I'm trying to say is that it takes discipline and it takes commitment to be a follower of Christ. And that's all it's asking. That's all he's asking for is commitment. Be committed to what it is he called you to be. Amen? The fourth thing that is very similar is that it requires complete obedience. When you serve the American flag, you are required to follow orders and are expected to be obedient to the T. When you serve the Christian flag, Christ expects you the same, no less. Just turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verse 19. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right, good, because that story bombed. All right, chapter 26, verse 19 says this. It says, "So the disciples did as Jesus told them and prepared the Passover meal there. They did what was asked of them." John 14, 21. Say amen when you get to John 14. Peter. 14:21 says what? Says, "Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me." Now, I'm going to leave that right there for you to digest for a second. Those who accept my commandments, that means you volunteer, you listen, right? You accept the commandments, you commit, right? And then obey. Right? And then obey. It says, I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Now, I want that. I want that. You know, amen? Amen? I want that. You better say, I want that. You know, and because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each and every one of them. Every single one of you who can say, "I volunteer, I commit, and I am obedient," you will see Jesus. Amen? It's not a maybe. It's a I will. You can expect it. Amen? You can expect that when you commit and you obey, that you will see Jesus. Amen? Let's turn to Isaiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, and we're going to read two verses. We're going to read verse 19 and 20. It says this. It says, "If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat." What do we say? That full faith to let Jesus be your provider, right? It says, "If you only obey me, you'll have plenty to eat. But if you turn away and refuse to listen, you'll be devoured by the sword and your enemies. And I, the Lord, have spoken." Well, I can simulate that to what I've learned about the military, is that if you obey the military, you'll have whatever they give you, right? But if you don't obey, well, then you lose it. You lose some stuff and probably some more stuff. Well, I don't think that Christ's army is that dissimilar. We are told here that we'll be provided with whatever it is we need if we obey, if we commit, if we love. So if you commit and if you love and if you obey, guess what? You will not be in lack. You will not be lacking anything. You will be given everything you need, and that's a promise. Amen. How many of you ever heard of the man named John Newton? John Newton is? He wrote what I consider to be like the Star-Spangled Banner of Christianity. He wrote Amazing Grace. I know. There's a writing somewhere about something that he had said, and I don't want to mess it up. It goes like this. It says, if two angels in heaven were given assignments by God at the same time, one of them to go and rule over the greatest nation on earth, and the other to go to sweep the streets of the dirtiest village, each angel would be completely indifferent to which one got the better assignment. It simply wouldn't matter to them, because the real joy lies in being obedient to God. So no matter what it is you do, what do we say? Do it all for the glory of God. For a follower of Christ, it's not important what God has you doing. It's just important that you're doing what he tells you to do. If it's cleaning toilets, if it's standing on the corner just saying I love you to people, if it's whatever it is, if God told you to do that, do that. And do it with everything you got. Do it all for the glory of God. The fifth similarity that I've encountered here is that it requires being a Christian and being a military veteran requires you to have complete devotion. When you serve the American flag, you're expected to be completely devoted to the country and what it represents. Now, devotion means this. I had to look it up because I was like, doesn't that mean the same thing as commitment? But it doesn't really. It's a deeper meaning. It's deeper than that. Devotion is the earnest attachment to a cause, the earnest attachment to a person, a profound dedication. That's devotion. And so now I don't think we can use those as similar things anymore. I think commitment is good, but devotion is better. Devotion is deeper. When you serve the Christian flag, he requires you to be devoted, consecrated to him and his kingdom. 1 Chronicles 29:5. Say amen when you get to 1 Chronicles. It's in the Old Testament. It's probably up there, Peter. Oh, verse 5. Says, and for the other gold and silver work to be done by the craftsmen, now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today? And if you read the whole chapter, you're going to find out that they were rebuilding the temple, and you're going to find out that David gave from his personal fortune. David gave from his own personal stuff to rebuild the temple. David gave of everything to build the temple, and he encouraged then others to do the same. He was so committed and devoted that he gave what was his to do something for other people, you see. And I find that that's very similar in all things. And we talked in the beginning about service and gratitude and volunteering, is that military in our natural world, they sacrifice everything to go and serve everybody. They sacrifice everything to serve you and me in the physical realm, protecting us and allowing us to have the freedoms that we have. Well, as a Christian believer in the Christian army, what are you willing to sacrifice to protect what God has for you and what God has for all of us? What are we willing to do to get people to understand that God has everything for you, that God can supply you with everything that you need, and I'm the witness to that? And people need to look at that and see, look at what God has done in my life. He can do the same in your life. David gave from his own to build something that was not just for him. Amen? We can give from our own to build something that's not just for me, but that's for everybody. And when Jesus said, let your will be done, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, can we give of what's ours? Can we give of what we think we have, right? And build the kingdom here? If we are Christ's hands and feet, and he has called you to with a special gift and a special calling, then he is calling us to give of ourselves what he has given to us to give to people out here so that we can all can enjoy the pleasures and the blessings that God has for us. Amen? We can become true veterans of the cross and good soldiers of the cross when we enlist, commit, and be devoted to a God that loves you and to a cause that's greater than you. Amen? Amen? Commit. Volunteer, commit, and be devoted. And what does the Bible say? Be ye doers of the word. Amen? Don't just sit there and believe. Stand there, walk there, and believe. Amen? Walk, believe, do. Be who you are. Be, I'm not going to say it. Military veterans, I thank you again for your service. And one thing that struck me when I talked to every one of them, every single person talked about being humble, being confident, having honor, being truthful, and being responsible. Those five words came out of every person that I talked to. And I believe that those five factors in regular military can also be transferred into God's military, into being a Christian. Amen? Being confident in who you are and the things that the gifts that God has given to you to use and to do and to utilize. Being humble, knowing that it's not you, but it's the power of God inside of you. Having honor and giving honor to who gives you these things. Amen? And being firm and founded in on truth. And where does our truth come from? The Word of God. Jesus said he is the truth. Amen? And then what is our responsibility in all of this? To take all of those things and to be recruiters. In a sense. To be witnesses. To let the light shine so people know, hey, there's a lighthouse. There's a lighthouse over there. I can be safe over there. There's something over there for me. Amen? So it's an encouraging word today to get up on your feet, stand tall, have some honor in who you are in Christ, and be who God told you you are, a man, a woman of Christ with power that comes from the Holy Ghost. And power to do what? Power to do all of those things that Christ did and more. To heal the sick, to raise the dead, to pray, and for those things to come. For the Holy Spirit to work in and out of you. To affect the world around you. To change the world around you from being bad to good. From being demonic to being angelic. To change people from being one way so they can walk out and be the new person that God meant them to be. Amen? Amen. Let us stand. Let's close our eyes and let's just start praying to God right now and anything that you need from him. And if it's encouragement, then I pray that you pray that you need some encouragement right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just sit here and bask in his presence for